Well, good morning to each of you. Thank you for rising up early this morning, for indeed this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Thank you for rising early this morning from your sleep and from your slumber. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Thank him for life. Thank him for health. Thank him for breath. Yes, thank him for another day with brand new mercies. Well, listen, I welcome each of you to our House of Healing Empowerment Call. To any visitors or first-time guests on the line, on behalf of my wonderful husband, Pastor Joseph Brown, and myself, Co-Pastor Lakeisha Brown, listen, we welcome you. Thank you for stopping by early in the morning to fellowship with us and to start our day with God. Listen, just a few observations. We do have prayer and Bible study on tonight at 7 p.m. There is no fasting for today. We're just going to keep our hearts and our minds postured before the Lord. We're going to set ourselves towards him to hear what he may say. And then we're asking that you meet us on Sunday for morning worship. Yes, we're coming together for high worship to be in the presence of the Lord and worship with the saints of God. Amen. Well, today we are still journeying through the Psalms. We're still journeying through the Psalms, and it has been a wonderful journey as we hear from the heart of David through God's mind. Amen. And so today we are in Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and I am just going to lift up maybe two verses. I want you to spend time in meditational thought and chewing and eating and being refreshed and revived. This is a good book. This is a good book to rest yourself in. So take some time and read the entire passage and chew on it, digest it, and receive strength from this passage. But for this morning, I am going to look at verses 3 and 4. And it simply says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere men do to me? This I know, God is for me. Our meditational thought this morning is simply trust. That's it. Trust. Trust, trust, trust. What are you so scared of? Why is it many struggle with trust? With simply questions or with simple questions, our recollection of our initial encounter with fear and distrust oftentimes are thrown at us by every childhood taunt we can remember or have experienced. You see, fear, the kind the Bible warns us against, never looks good on us. Like a perpetually out-of-style haircut, there's no way to dress fear up. Fear never drives us in the right direction. It is perhaps one of the most dangerous reasons to do anything. Fear dishonors God and disheartens us. No wonder God has much to say about fear right here in Psalm 56. You see, Psalm 56 is one of the best pillows on which you can lay your head when your heart are tempted with fear. In God we trust may be a familiar idiom, but what does it look like when the rubber meets the road? Let's look at our biblical example of what it means to trust in God in a practical sense. In Psalm 56, David gives some substance to the nature of trust. And the first thing that he wants us to do, or David is trying to teach us, is to focus on the right things. Focus on the right things. And sometimes when you're focusing on the right things, you have to run for your life. God is your sanctuary in the time of storm. Look first at the extraordinary situation from which David pens these words. The introduction of the psalm says that it is written when the Philistine sees David in Gath. Here's the backstory. David is a young man who God has anointed to become the next king of Israel. The current king, Saul, is obviously not in favor of this. So Saul turns against David and sets out to kill him. David is therefore running for his life and unfortunately ends up in the hands of his greatest enemy, the Philistines, carrying their slain hero's swords, no less. This is clearly not a good situation for David. The people of Gath immediately recognize David, and with a mixture of cowardness and cunning, David feigns madness. He acts like he has lost his mind to escape the deadly situation. David writes from this posture in Psalm 56 during this terrifying situation. In it, David admits that when faced with dire circumstances, his initial reaction is marked by fear and panic. However, more important than his gut reaction, David asserts, watch this, that steadfast trust in the Lord is the only solution to a troubling scenario like this. Easy to say, but what does that kind of trust look like? In order to understand the testing that David's faith is undergoing, a large portion of Psalm 56 is spent cataloging how his enemies are bent on destroying him. We'll find that in verses 1 and 2, 5 and 6 of Psalm 56. All detail the unceasing assault from which David is running. He is trampled. He is oppressed. He is attacked. And his cause is injured. He is the subject of evil thoughts and is the target of a strife-inducing manhunt that is ultimately aimed at ending his very life. But look at what David did. David, he makes the choice. Yes. He makes, when you are getting and preparing yourself to trust God under harsh circumstances or just in life, you have to set your focus, but you got to make a choice. And sometimes you have to make a choice while you're trembling and believing. Minute by minute, you have to make a conscious decision to believe God's promise. This is what David is teaching us in the middle of this catalog of doom in Psalm 56. Verse 3 shows us that David is not stoic. No, he openly admits his fear. But the great thing about this honest confession is that he immediately follows up with the affirmation of his trust in God. It is important to see from this that in some sense, it is possible for fear and faith to occupy the same mind at the same moment. So that's what David was up against. But what does his assertion of trust amount to? Well, David tells us three times in verses 4 and 10 that he does what? He puts his trust in God. And I come to tell somebody today, just one word,
trust. But you've got to put your trust in God. You may be fearful, you may be doubting, but today God is just saying trust. Whose words of praise? David said, whose words of praise do I trust? To trust in God is to rightly value his word. And David is chewing on it, and he is confessing it right there in the midst of his fear. He says, even though I am fearful at this moment, my faith looks up to thee, and I trust in God, and I value his word. That simply means I value his promise. I value what he told me. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how things are shaking out. I will trust God. David, trust God by believing that God would do what he had promised to do. Specifically for David, the word he trusted was likely God's promise to give him the kingdom and make him the head of the royal dynasty. At this point in the story, hiding out from the murderous Saul in the desert cave, acting insane to escape the Philistines, this promise really seems laughable, yes. And I know some of you might be experiencing a David moment where the promises that you have heard God speak over your life are laughable because everything else is contrary to it. But despite, oh my God, the present appearance of what David was experiencing, David still believes God's word, so much so that it causes him to praise God. And I come to tell you, even in the midst of whatever you might be facing, good or bad, I don't ever want you to lose your praise. You might have to praise him crying. You might have to praise him trembling. But I something about praise that will lift the burden. It is something about praise that will get the enemy off of your back. It is something about praise that will bring sanity to your mind, that keeps turning over the pressure and the negativity of where you are. So whatever you do, you've got to trust him and praise him. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. You may not always feel like it, but you got to do it. Even while David is still neck deep in his dire circumstances, this is what David does. He not only makes the choice, right? He is joyful. Lord have mercy. You've got to be joyful. I know it sounds like lunacy. You feel like you're barely hanging on by your fingertips. And now I am asking, oh, you to be happy about it? I'm not asking you, because there are times when I struggle myself, but God is asking you. He says in hard times, God wants you to accept your faith level in real time. Yeah, hard times don't mean that you have done something wrong. I got to say that to somebody, because there's so many of us who believe that when we are in the midst of difficult times, dark days, stormy days, troublesome days, that we've done something wrong to God. And I come to debunk that myth. Hard times doesn't mean that you have done something wrong. You see, hardness comes to mature us, and it causes us to become well-developed. It builds in us the ability to have strength. It builds in us to understand the mind of God in deeper ways. Yeah, you want to understand the mysteries of God. You want to know him in the power of his might. The only way you can know him, he says, those who suffer with me, that's how you get to know suffering. He said, if you suffer, you're going to reign with me. Yeah. And then hardness comes because the Lord doesn't want there to be any deficiency in us in any way. Yes, with this trust, David confidently speaks out. He says this. He says, I shall not be afraid. Somebody needs to say that. Who has fear in your heart? You may not tell anybody, but you go in your secret closet. You ride in your car. You are walking or sitting in your home, wherever you may be, and you're dealing with the tremors of silent fears, Lord. But I come to put a word in your mouth that when fear is plaguing you, when fear won't get off your back, you've got to speak to it and say, I shall not fear. You've got to keep speaking until you believe it yourself. You've got to keep speaking until your mind settles, until your heart settles. Hallelujah. I shall not fear. And to the one who's fearing this morning, I come to challenge your fear. And I tell you to open up your mouth and speak to your fear. Yes, thank you, Kirk Franklin. He said, hello, fear. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Yeah. Well, in verse 9, David states that his enemies will turn back because he calls on the Lord as his deliverer. In verses 12 and 13, David offers up a thanksgiving offering. That's why I tell you, you got to set your focus. You got to make the choice, and then you got to be joyful. David knew this so well. He's a great model of how the believer should respond in the midst of David's manhood. He stops, Lord have mercy, and he offers a thanksgiving offering. He says to the Lord, you have delivered my soul from death, and I come for the one this morning who feels like their soul is in the hell, and I come to pull you out of hell. And I say, how you going to get out of hell? You're going to be thankful. You're going to open up your mouth and begin to speak the thanksgivings of the Lord. That's how David was able to journey through his hard situation. He said, the Lord has delivered my soul from death, and I shall give him thanks right in the midst of hell, right in the midst of his turmoil. David began to rejoice. God, you got to love David. David is so confident of his deliverance. Watch this. I love this in the text, that David is so, he's so confident in his deliverance that he speaks of it in past tense. Lord, David is in the midst of trial. He's in the midst of people seeking his life, and David speaks of his trial in past tense. Why? Because he knows that the Lord is faithful. He's faithful to his word, and that's the confidence. It wasn't based on guesswork. That was David's trust. It wasn't sketchy prophecy or bravado. It is appropriate only because God has already told David what he has in store for you, and that is what you've got to hold on to. What God has told you that he has in store for you. Lord, the Lord cannot lie. Before he lies, it has to turn into truth. He's not a God that can speak something and not bring it to pass. You might feel like you in hell now, but the promise of God is still sure, and that promise is going to David, this means stepping out of the cave while odds are against him, while odds are seen stacked against him. He continues the fight that eventually culminates in his ascension, the promise coming to pass that he would be the king who sits on the throne. That is trust in God. Just like David, you've got to practice. You've got to practice just like David. You've got to practice trusting God ahead of time. You've got to set your focus. You've got to make your choice. You've got to be joyful. And then you got to practice ahead of time. That's what David did. He practiced his future while he was in his trauma. He practiced his future while he was in his circumstance, while he was in the cave, while he was under the oppression of his enemies. He practiced, Lord, have mercy, his trusting in God. And I come to tell somebody, you got to practice right in the midst of where you are. You got to practice your trust since you already know ahead of time that hard times are certain. Mm-hmm. You can practice them by relinquishing your worry. Yeah, yeah. See, when you are joyful and when you are faithful, it lifts the worry. Mm-hmm. Choosing to trust when times are great. See, this is how you practice trusting when you are in the midst of something horrible. You practice trusting when times are great. I know everybody on the line may not be experiencing anything right now, and that's okay. We all have times where God gives us a reprieve. But for those of you, oh my God, who may not be experiencing it now, this is where you practice and build up your store of trust. It's when you're in the great times. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so it is. Oh, you practice trusting ahead of time by flexing your faith. I'm speaking to the ones who are in a good season right now. You come through your season of hard times. You come through your season where you were in your cave. This is the time to practice trusting God ahead of time, building up your store, building up, oh my God, your most holy faith. Flex your faith now and remember that God is greater. We too are called to trust God in a way that is every bit as real as David's trust. Just as David hears God's word through the prophet Samuel, so too we have a sure word. For the Bible is God's very word to us. It is the vehicle through which he reveals his will, and in it he makes countless promises to us. Our trust is firmly founded in this God who speaks. See, believers, to simply trust God, you must shut the gate of your mind to the spirit of doubt. And that's what I'm coming after in prayer this morning. I'm coming after the mind and the spirit of doubt. See, what doubt does, it disassembles, oh my God, disassembles the goodness of God. It wrecks the benefits of love. It becomes cancerous over time. Yeah. Doubt, it corrodes dependence on God. It is the devil's gambit. It is the devil's ploy. It is the devil's scheme to sow doubt. But we must trust in God by believing in what he has said, and no less importantly, by believing that he intends grounded, Lord God. And you know what hope simply means? Our endurance. Lord, have mercy. Lord, 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 I can't carry there. But it says that our hope is well founded. Why? Because he who has promised, he is faithful. Just like David, our hope is based on God's faithfulness, not our present circumstances. So let's step out in faith, believers, like David, praising God for who he is and living lives that show we believe he will accomplish all his good purposes, just as he said he would. You see, quicksand means no way out. It means that you're in the mud and mire with no return. And some of life's predicaments feel like quicksand. Oh my God, don't they feel like that? Well, Psalm 56 says, then my enemies will turn back in the day. Lord, this is the promise. When I do what? Call upon the Lord. When I give him thanksgiving, when I praise him, when I worship him, when I bow before him, when I run into his presence, watch this, the Lord is going to make my enemies turn back when I call. This I know. Lord, this is my favorite part of the scripture, and this is going to be my mantra. Oh my God, in this season of my life, this I know, God is for me. And I come to show somebody that you need to grab hold of this nugget and declare in every area where you are doubting, God is for me. Lord, I feel you. Hey, God is for me. It might seem like things are against you, and everywhere you turn, it's seems like it's closed, but I come to tell somebody that God is for you. He doesn't need a doorknob. He doesn't need a window. He creates whatever he wants to get it to you and get it to you in a hurry. I dare you to declare, God is for me. I don't care what says no. You speak and say, God is for me. Lord, have mercy. For somebody, I feel it loud in my spirit. You think that because everything seems to work against you, that's how God feels about you. But I come to pull down that lie, and I come to tell you that God is for you. I ask this question. Is God for me? A long time ago, in the sinking sands of a hostile situation, I asked this question, God, are you for me? When I was in the lucky places in my heart and the senseless tragedies of life, yes, co-pastor, I wondered if I was just going to keep thinking, and I was forgotten about God altogether. And it was at my self-pitying core that I asked, why me, God? Why me, Lord? Someone is in the same quagmire, wondering if you really can trust God when he is silent and appears to be far away. And I come to tell you, yes, you can, because God is for you. It is easy to be devoured by the loose, wet sand. It is easy to sink even faster in the quicksand of life as we struggle, but I come to tell you, like the psalmist, oh my God, that when people and the voices around them and the voices around you ask, where is your God? Just like they asked David in his most difficult, trying time, in that moment, you must keep treading the quick and until Jesus comes. Sometimes you may not get delivered at the moment that you want, but you in, the Lord will answer. You got to remind yourself that he is for you, and he will not allow you to be overtaken by the quicksands of life. Keep looking upward. Stop flailing. The Lord will faithfully stop the downward pressure from sucking you in. And I speak to that person right now who is in a downward spiral. The angels of the Lord, oh my God, is going to stop the pressure before you get sucked in. The Lord is your Savior. He may use you as a testimony, but you will not be devoured before you get sucked in. God's going to release the pressure. Lord, I feel it in my soul. He is our Savior, and he will deliver. All we got to do is keep trusting and treading the quicksand. He directs us with his love towards us. You got to keep trusting because you are too close to your better days. I said you got to keep trusting because you're too close to your better days. How do we trust a guy to go? We fight with five A's. We acknowledge the lies of the adversary and God's corresponding truth. Number two, we ask for assistance from heaven. Number three, we admire the power, the height, and the love of God. We give him adoration. And then we abandon our own will. And then we affirm God's goodness through songs and prayers of thanksgiving. We acknowledge, we ask, we admire, we abandon, and we affirm. That is how we trust God. Filter the bad out of the good. And when you do that, you are left with good. And if we are left with good, we are left with the God we can trust. We trust in God by believing what he has said. I said we trust in him by believing what he has said. Yes, we do. By believing that he intends to fulfill his word. Hey, my God, that's how we believe. Finally, my brethren, I admonish you as I begin to pray, brothers and sisters, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there be any excellence or if there be any praise, I want you to trust in these things. Trust in the Lord. Hey, Lord, let us pray. My prayer target today is for doubt in the mind. I'm praying that fear will be driven away and that the saints of God will rise and trust. Father, we approach your throne this morning. Yes, as your children approaching the Father, you said, Lord, we should love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. But many can't love you with all of their mind because there is an ongoing battle. And so Adonai, even now I pray, renew the mind of your people as they begin to verbalize the truth about who you are, Lord, and your promises towards them. I pray in the name of Jesus that your people begin to confess that you are exalted as the head over their lives. I pray, dear Jesus, that you people, they will confess that you are the ruler over all things. I pray, Lord, that you put the confession in your people's lives, in their mouths, that greatness, power, and majesty is still yours. I pray man and every other god. Oh God, let your people be under the declare you are greater than every principality. You are greater than every spiritual wickedness. You are greater than every satanic opposition and every stronghold of the enemy, thereby which I will trust in the strong name of the Lord. I will trust in the unfailing hand of God. Your spirit, dear Father, you give your people the spirit of victory and truth. Oh God, it will live in them. I pray, oh God, that as your people are the citizens of your kingdom, that they will have access to you and approach you with boldness. Oh my God, I pray that your people begin to feel the love that only God can bring, that can satisfy the longing soul. Oh, what manner of love you have bestowed upon your people. I pray that they feel it. I press love through the line. I press the love of God. Oh my God, that can engulf you like none other. It's the pure love of God that's moving in the hearts and the minds of the people, because it's perfect love that will cast out all fear. I send the perfected love of God, hey, to the hearts and the minds of the people. Oh God, we are your creation and we belong to you, Lord. You are indeed our refuge and strength. You are always a present help in every trouble. You are on our side. I say you are on our side, hey, and you'll never leave us to fight battles on our own. You are our source. You are our source, and you are our portion. How is your grace so rich, and how great is your kindness towards your people? Father, we acknowledge that we need your help to win this mental battle that causes us not to trust you. Oh God, you did not create us to be bound or crippled by fear, and I drive it out to the Bekushkata. I drive out fear this morning. You will get off the grips. Take your hands off. Shut your mouth, fear. You will not cause these people to break under fear. Loneliness, we call you out. Rejection and unforgiveness, we call you out. Lust and bitterness that's attached to fear, anxiety and doubt, I come for you now. Get off the minds of your people. Get out of the unanimals. Get out of the emotions of your people. Low self-esteem. You're coming up, Matataya. Guilt and insecurities. Their addictions and suicidal thoughts. I come against you now by the blood of Jesus. Under the ocean, self-defeating and judgmental thoughts. I pull you down. I send you back to the pit of hell from where you came. You won't rule this people. You won't rule this people. For the blood sees you and the blood to be almost and the blood against you. We cast off all restraints. Oh God, your desire is for us to live in freedom from the holds of the world and from the devil. So Father, teach us to control and conquer our thoughts and bring them into the submission of the Lord Jesus Christ as we aim this morning and in our lives to please you in every way. Father, teach us to replace every unhealthy thought with your word and with your truth. God, I ask that you help us take on the mind of Christ and focus our mind on the things that are beneficial, holy and true, according to what is written in your word, Father. matter. We know that we are not fighting against human beings, but against rulers of darkness in the high places. So it's this morning that I ask, oh God, that you gird your people with strength for the battle, oh, so they can reject every temptation, every thought, every contradiction, the truth of who you are and who they are in you. Help your people to be strong in your mighty power, not leaning on their own understanding. Father, we know we can't break free from our own power, but on our own, my God, so teach us to put on your armor every day that we can stand against the schemes of the devil as we live in union with Jesus Christ, submitting to your power and clothing ourselves in your armor. Father, I ask that you turn to rubble every wall that the enemy has fortified in their mind, in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. I ask that you demolish every high thing, every strong thing, every Goliath, hey, and every mind oppressing spirit that speaks to keep this people bound as Jericho walls crumbled. I pray that the enemy's plans against their mind, it will fall and be shattered by the great strength of Jehovah. I pray, oh God, that you break every other unhealthy cycle in their life and mine. I cry out as David, Lord, you are a shield all around them. You are their glory. You are the one who continues to lift their head high. God is for you. I said God is for you, and he will not let you fail. Adonai, as I close this prayer, I pray that you give this people the guts to stand. I said give them the guts to stand. Give them the courage to fight and the perseverance to win every battle in the community of their mind, of their psyche. I pray that your peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, I said guard, their heart and mind in your Christ Jesus. I stand, we stand on the promise of your word this morning, that blessed are those who hope in you and those who trust in you. You will never be ashamed. I said you will never be ashamed. Trust him and you will never be ashamed. Now to the King eternal, immortal and invisible, to the only wise God, be honor, be glory, be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Leave this line trusting, knowing that God is for you. Amen.